This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole deck with galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to the Antler Up Podcast and our special series, The Antler Up Sessions. These episodes come straight from the conversations between myself and Dan Johnson of the Nine Finger Chronicles. Dan is one of the most respected voices in the whitetail world, known for his no BS approach, his deep knowledge of deer behavior, and his ability to connect hunters through stories that resonate. In this series, you'll hear discussions that dig into strategy, gear, access, and terrain, conservation, and the mindset that keeps us pushing forward. It's not just about filling tags. It's about learning, adapting, and finding meaning in every hunt. So settle in and enjoy this episode of the Antler Up Sessions with Dan Johnson.
His name is Jeremy Dinsmore. No, hang on a second. I got to do this the right way. All right. What do you want? You want MMA or do you want Monster Truck intro today?
Let's go MMA. I'll feel that one.
Hailing from Pennsylvania in the big woods. Today's guest has killed tens, if not 20s, of white-tailed deer with his bow. Today's guest and host of the Antler Up podcast, Jeremy the Hammer Dinsmore.
That was good. That was good.
You like that?
I like that.
Yep. Now my throat hurts.
you need to go on those websites that offer people to go ahead and do voiceovers for stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, get paid for that.
Back in the day, I actually did one of those for the intro of the Nine Finger Chronicles. When mm-hmm. This would have been like 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And I paid a guy to do a voiceover for me. I wrote the script and he read it. And then I was just like, okay, this sounds ridiculous. I'm just going to start doing this shit myself. And and so, yeah, dude, hey, you're a teacher. When do you start school?
Oh man, I was actually looking at that because I think next week will be our last one that we could kind of annually do.
Looking so at the Antler Up session next week is the last one.
Yep. Because then
that's a bummer, dude.
I know. I've so enjoyed these, and like last week we had a miss. I took the family out camping, kind of a spur of the moment trip, and took my oldest daughter, her and I did a little camping, fishing, hiking session. You know, you look at all the summer things you're just saying about going back to school, and my daughter always makes a list of her summer to-do lists. And we're getting down, like you said, we're coming down to starting school. And next thing you know, I'm like, holy crap, a lot of the ones that are like dad tailored, we have not done. Just because she did her play, it was this past weekend, so that was done and taken care of and everything like that. Yep. So now she has more time and she doesn't have to, quote unquote, like say miss a practice or something along those lines. So yeah, so we were trying to get some check marks on that summer to-do list done. So, but yeah, man, it kind of sucks. These are just so fun to get down here and record, and keeps me in the loop a little bit too, and gets me going with the podcasting stuff. So I thoroughly enjoyed one. I just enjoyed hanging out with you for that hour and stuff like that. But yeah, man, we start here in 2 weeks. So that's when service starts. And then next thing you know, it's the first day of school. So summer flew by.
It is sad. Mm-hmm. And it is a really big eye-opening for me, or it has been these last several years, where I look at you really do have to reevaluate what is important in your life. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of guys out there who chase money, and they are doing it in the detriment of watching their kids grow up. And what I mean by that is they're the old, you know, maybe call it old school, where I'm going to go work my ass off. I'm going to go do what I want, and I'll just put money in the account. But at the same time, they're missing their kids grow up, man.
Right.
And I made a commitment to myself where I am in the position that I'm in right now because I want to spend as much time with my kids as I possibly can.
It's huge.
Like, dude, if you are in this life for money and possessions and, you know, like that kind of shit, I just want everybody to envision. This is a conversation, like, I'll be completely honest, man. This is a conversation I had to ask my wife. And I'm like, you're putting a lot of time, energy, and worry into specific things that that just do not fucking matter, dude. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, take a breath. Do you think in 20 years you're going to remember what you were even worried about?
Right.
Right? And so I got to share a little story, and I'm hogging the mic here. But
no, please.
But I'm sitting, we went to Lansing, Iowa. It's right on the Mississippi River.
It is a spot where there's some, it's a whole bunch of backwater, so you can find some walleyes and fishing. And the first day we went out fishing and it was tough. The next day, we went out fishing and it was tough. The next day we went out, I didn't catch a single fish. First time in 13 years, I didn't catch a fish. My boy, he didn't catch a fish. So then we went to a farm pond the next day and we crushed them, right? It was just, yeah. You know, it's the cheat code. It's like the public waters, you know, the public land versus the private, well manicured land. We did that. So the cheat code for whitetails is to own your own property and manage it for whitetails and whatever. The cheat code for fishing is to go to a farm pond. Well, the kids really enjoy that because they're catching the shit out of fish, right? We even took some bluegills home, whatever. But then my boy's like, let's go out on the river and try it again. So I grabbed a boat, just me and him. And this was a moment that I will remember for a while. Hopefully I remember it forever. As all the boats are coming out of off the river, we're going in, and it's like 6:30 in the afternoon. We get to our spot that we found out. My good friend Tony Peterson, he's fished up there before. He's like, dude, you know, I said to him, hey, my boy wants to catch a smallmouth. Do you have any spots you'd be willing to share? And he shared a couple spots with me. And then we went to go fish for some walleye when that didn't pan out. And my youngest son was frustrated that we weren't catching fish. And I was working on the trolling motor, like getting it adjusted. And I kind of looked back at him and he wasn't casting anymore. And he was sitting and looking and observing the surroundings. And I could see on his face, he wasn't even thinking about fishing at that point. He was just observing his surroundings, looking at the, because in the, you know, northern end of the Mississippi between Iowa and Wisconsin and southern Minnesota, there's these huge bluffs that come up off the river and it's gorgeous. And he was sitting there and he was surrounded by this. And I could see on his face that there was this moment of relaxation that kind of set in, and it wasn't about fishing anymore for him. And it was just like this brief fleeting moment. And I wanted to take advantage of that moment. And I said to my son, I go, what do you hear right now? And he goes, nothing. I don't hear anything. I go, listen closer. What do you hear? And we could hear like little waves hitting the aluminum boat, right? Mm-hmm. You can hear a train going off way far away. You can hear the wind, right? You can hear like maybe another boat a long ways away. And I was like, look at this, bud. Does this make you happy? And he goes, yes, this makes me happy being out here. And I go, dude, I said to him, you have no idea. I would rather be on this boat with you and never catch a fish ever again if it just meant spend time with you.
Yeah.
It's like those are the moments that I chase.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, dude, so many people are worried about the destination, and the fucking destination, dude, is the grave.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And you might even be able to elaborate on this more. Just, you know, I've heard never really a lot of stories, like specifics, basically, but I've heard some people that I respect that have been in the industry, specifically hunting for a very long time, that they've known people that just put their whole time and effort and soul in chasing deer and everything else. And like you said, chasing the money and all these, trying to make a living out of it and all this stuff, but they're neglecting their family.
Oh, 100%.
It's crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I always laugh at the loss of friendships and all that type of stuff. And it's just like over deer, over an animal that you could give two shits about you. And you're just, you know, you're providing for your family with some meat and chasing that, the antler. Like, it just always blows my mind. And you bring up a great point with everything with the not too long ago was the NFL Hall of Fame. And I love the Baseball Hall of Fame. I used to go to Cooperstown, New York a lot and as a kid. And I catch here and there of some of the NFL guys because now it's like as a 38-year-old person, I'm like, I remember watching that player his whole career now. It's like, it's weird seeing that. But Jared Allen just was inducted, Minnesota Vikings. And he was asked about, you know, or he in his speech, he basically said, if at the end of the day, if all I'm remembered for is this gold jacket, I did everything wrong. 100%. And he was saying about, I want to be remembered as the husband and father I was to my wife and to my kids. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, just hearing, he went in a little bit more in detail about that. And, you know, it makes you, like you said, it makes you really reevaluate things and see where, what are the important things in life. And, I had a trip, a couple days ago as well. And on that trip, a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, Tom, he told me, he's like, dude, if you haven't listened to, Dan and Mark's, episode from a couple weeks ago on the Wired Hunt podcast with you, I forget, what did Mark label that one with you and him talking about, like, you guys were, I forget what it was. So just being in an adult hunter now, like just being,
oh, yeah, like what it actually means
to, yeah,
to me. Yeah, like what hunting, how hunting has changed. I think I'll have to go back and listen to it again as well. But
it was so good, Dan. It was very relatable. I mean, if you are a father and you're listening to this, I highly recommend going to check that one out with Mark and Dan, just because it hit home a lot. And what I loved about that one, like the two of you really spoke like from the heart. You know what I mean? And with you two being co-hosts for so many years, you guys just flow so well. But yeah, that was a good one. And I'm with you. It's just so many weird, terrible crap out in the world right now. It's just like, you know, focus on your friends and family.
The thing that blows my mind, this is the hunting industry side of the thing, is like the hunting, I hate to say it, but the hunting industry and majority of people have this whole thing wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. And so there, I did something funny yesterday. I went to AI and I asked AI, what is the similarities between the movie Point Break? I said, please elaborate, or I can't remember what it was that I asked, but it was along the lines of, I want you to compare the movie Point Break to a bow hunter's quest to find the perfect hunt. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so for those of you who don't know, the movie Point Break is about, like, there's a whole bunch of crazy, like, things of what it could be. But really, it's about one man's journey, and that's Patrick Swayze's character, to find the perfect wave, ride the perfect wave. And he's willing to do that at all costs, like rob banks to live this certain lifestyle. And then there's everything in there. But really what it comes down to is, if you are so focused on the result, which is inches of antler and age class and all of this shit that does not matter, dude, I got a wall full of mounts downstairs. I got a whole room full of mounts and Euro mounts and turkey fans. None of that matters. It's the time you spend in the woods pursuing the game, and most importantly, the people that you are spending your time with, that is what you're going to be thinking about as the life leaves your body at some point in your, you know, at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like, 175 3/8. Like, no one gives a fuck, dude. And in today's world, like, that shit, it's like, you shoot a giant, congratulations, gone, right? You can, but here's the deal. You can still pursue the giant. You can do your land management. You can do all, you can hoard the natural resource if you want. Like, whatever your justification is for your own happiness. But I think what people are missing the point when it comes to hunting. Like, man, getting worked up over sharing spots, or you're in my spot, this is mine and you can't have it. I'm like, you're just kind of missing the point, man. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to share more of this type of stuff with my family, because at the end of the day, like you said, dude, there are four people that I care about what think about me, and that's my three kids and my wife, right? Yep. And my goal when I die is for them to tell their grandchildren and say, your grandpa or my grandpa was one of the most badass, awesome, caring, loving, funny, generous, you know, hilarious motherfuckers mm-hmm. that there was on this, mm-hmm. in this world. And that's yep. what I want, man. I don't care about any of the other shit. Like, it's just crazy, right. man. So
I'm with
gotta live life, because you're just wasting a lot of your time when you should be living, dude. You mm-hmm. should be living, and you're not.
Yep.
You know? And so, holy shit, I'm fired up now. Like, I want to, it's just, I love talking about this stuff, because I just see so many people fall into the trap of big antlers, dude. Big yeah. antlers. Got to be big antlers. Got to be mature. Age class. And if you go back and you listen to the Nine Finger Chronicles, if you were to sit back and find a trend from my first episode to this episode right here, mm-hmm. you would see the trend where I kind of fell into that, and I rode that wave for a little bit because I thought that's what people wanted, and it does get the clicks and the likes and all that shit. But at the end of the day, I personally just, man, go out there, have fun, fill tags if you want,
yeah.
eat the meat. Like,
yep.
If you want to chase big antlers, go chase big antlers, man, but do it under your circumstances and not anything else, which kind of leads me to I was online and I heard this question, and the question was, what something along the lines of what makes a good hunter, right? What is the definition of a good hunter, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw a curveball, and I'm going to ask you, what is a good hunter in your opinion?
In my opinion, I would have said a couple years ago, someone that is like continuously filling tags and doing all that stuff. Now, if you ask me today, like you just did, I would sit there and say someone that is willing to step outside the box a little bit in a sense of going against the norm. And whether that means like not worrying about obviously what other people think, but love just being out there and having encounters. And I think that's the other thing. I think a lot of things that, like, one of my best years, I had 2 years in a row. One of the year was when I did not fill a tag, but man, I was surrounded by deer, and just, it was a fun year. The next year I killed 5 deer in 3 weeks, basically in the state of PA. But like, now I look at it as like someone who goes outside the box with their thinking, and maybe they're a little bit of their methods of trying different things, pushing the envelope and going against that grain. Someone who's just has awesome encounters and doesn't necessarily need to, honestly, the last part is probably the main thing, doesn't need to explain why they shot or did what they did.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean? Like you bring those things in. I mean, that person just does not have to explain themselves.
Yep, exactly. So I'm going to throw this crazy curveball. There is no such thing mm-hmm. as a good hunter.
Yeah.
And here is my reasoning for that. I think that's a bogus question. They say there's no such thing as dumb questions, but there is no such thing as a good hunter or a great hunter or who is one of the best hunters of all time, because there is no equal playing field. I can go right. into the baseball statistics and I can tell you Nolan Ryan was one of the best pitchers of all time because he had the most strikeouts. right? I can tell you Pete Rose was one of the best players of all time because he has the most hits, mm-hmm. right? So there's no statistics because you can't say, Jeremy, I want you to compare where you hunt and how you hunt to one of the Southeast Iowa mega farms that's highly managed and all these people look up to, oh, like the Drurys, the Lakoskis, you know, like all these people who are putting in all the time and energy and effort into the management side of things to grow these deer, to hold these deer and keep deer here. Meanwhile, somebody else has to go to a completely different environment mm-hmm. and try to compete with that. There's no competition in hunting. There's no level playing field. There's no rules across the entire nation. Like that, it's impossible to judge. So right. therefore, because the constraints, the lack of constraints, I guess you would say, across the nation, it's an impossible answer. Right. Yeah. There's no such thing as a good hunter, in my opinion. I'll just use an example of my stepdad. He goes to the same spots. He does a little bit of work. He goes out. He doesn't wait for a big giant buck. He shoots his buck every year. Maybe some years it's bigger than other years, just from circumstance. But he's not playing the game like we play it.
Right.
And he goes out, but here's what he does have. A fucking great time.
Time.
Dude has a great time. And he loves, like, he loves being outside. He loves turkey hunting. He does, like, he's that guy who there's no fanning. There's no, like, intricate details or the best gear. He goes out and he sits in his blind and he waits for the turkey to come up and he'll sit there all day long if he has to. He'll take naps. Like, he just loves that stuff. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, there's other guys who are just like, I gotta do that. How do you love that? Like,
right. No way. Right?
The other thing is money, right? I can't throw $10,000-$20,000 at a farm. Let's be realistic. There's things out there that make hunting easier on all levels, right? So again, there's a no level playing field. A rifle will allow you to kill a deer probably easier than a traditional bow would, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. If your goal is big antlers, a 1,000 acre managed farm where you can throw $10,000-$20,000 into food plots and timber stand improvement and all this other stuff is going to make hunting easier. And long story short, like just the reduction of people on it right. is going to make it easier. Meanwhile, you go out to a piece of public, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. You can always compare one thing to another and then weigh one, you know, like cell cameras, right? If cell cameras for those who use them versus those who don't use them, cell cameras make it easier, right? And it's just all these things that you have versus what I have. It's complete. I live in Iowa. We have a different deer behave different here than in the big woods of Pennsylvania.
Correct.
So yep. I just like, don't spend your time worrying about that shit, dude. Just go hunt, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, three, four years ago, I had that mental shift, Dan. I had that like, oh man, like if I have to, I got to prove it to people. It's like, mm-hmm. like you said earlier, there's only four people in your household and four people that really matter of what they think about you. And they live under the same roof as you. And I always tell people, like, once you get over that and you truly start having that feel of, like, excitement for other people's success and you know what I mean? Like, that is when a lot of things change for me. And what you said, that, like, oh, that rigidity, like, that freaking out of trying to, is this the right spot? Is this where I need to be? And when's this deer going to come? And oh my gosh, a guy just came up from behind me. And now the deer, like when you stop just worrying about all that stuff and you just enjoy it. Like you said, what about your stepdad? Just having a fucking great time. When you have a great time,
Trust me, it's not good things will happen. It's not like they're guaranteed, but that good thing that can happen is you might, oh my gosh, that's the first time I've ever seen two bucks fight out in the distance. You know, that might be that it might be that doesn't mean you're going to fill a tag, but good things will end up happening. And over time, you have more clarity. You're able to think a little bit more, ask the question, why are things happening? And you're going to gain that little bit of knowledge of why and get out there and find more success. Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. That's a great conversation, dude. Like it feels good to say, I don't give a shit anymore. But it's hard. Like, I still do get a little frustrated when someone says something online that I disagree with, or like they're like, oh, you got to pass 3-year-olds, or you got to pass, you know, this. I go, no, dude, you put an arrow. I think I told you this before we started recording. If a 151-year-old walks by me and it's the size of a dog, I'm putting an arrow through it. If I watch 2 120s fight and snort wheeze, I almost pulled the trigger, 2 years ago on, he just walked outside. He was probably like this 300 pound buck. He was probably 120. Dude, gigantic body, deep dark coat, comes out of this cornfield. He walks, I grunt at him. He kind of takes a couple steps towards me, but he saw a doe. So he then turned and he started walking after this doe. And I was going to shoot that buck. Mm-hmm. Just so it's, man, anyway, like, yeah, it's if you are about the inches and you are about the end result, you are missing out, man. You are missing the point in this, of this whole thing. So anyway, I got to do a commercial break, and then we're going to get into like goals and things like that. So, this is supposed to be like, what do they call those? A pre-roll. Where I have to do this at the beginning, but I didn't know this intro was going to go so long. So here we are, like 30 minutes into the podcast, and now I'm doing this. But we do have to do it, and I do want to send a huge shout out to the partners, because, like, I'm not that, just like you are, right? They we're not those guys. Like, we're not the people who are so worried about everything. Like, I should probably have more trail cameras out right now, and I don't, and because I was supposed to do it today or tomorrow, and my schedule is just full, and I can't get it out. So I was on vacation, come home for 3 days to do 5 days of work, then I go on another vacation before school starts, leaving Thursday, going down to St. Louis to watch a Cards game, by the way. Nice. Love baseball. And then come back, and then hopefully next week I'll be able to take my little trip and go, you know, get a farm ready for the upcoming season. So, if you're looking for, in my opinion, one of the most well-built broadheads from a material and design aspect, and the fact that they're made in America, a majority of their heads are made in America, go check out wasparchery.com, discount code NFC20. Next on the list is Vortex Optics. What's the date today? The 5th. And they said I can't talk about it until the 7th, I believe it was. So Vortex Optics is coming out with a couple really cool products. I have it right in front of me. So on the next episode of the Nine Finger Chronicles, I'll be able to talk a little bit more about some of the new products that they have, and what they're doing there. I'm also going to be doing kind of a breakdown on the Hunting Gear podcast about that product, the efficiency of it and whatnot. So keep an eye out for that. VortexOptics.com. Go check out all of their spotting scopes, rifle scopes, red dots, binoculars, range finders, all that stuff. VortexOptics.com. Take advantage of their VIP warranty. Next on the list is Code Blue Sense. I got a box sitting next to the trail cameras of the Rope-A-Dope mock scrape kits that I'm going to plan on putting out on the landscape when I go to this farm. Got to freshen up my mock scrapes. Got to take my weed eater with me, and I got to buzz down to the dirt underneath of the mock scrapes. Mm-hmm. I got to go check on how my hinge cutting is doing, all of that stuff. So They have real synthetic deer urines. They have the Rope-A-Dope mock scrape kit. They have the scent elimination products like laundry detergents, deodorants, and scent elimination sprays. Go to CodeBlueSense.com, discount code NFC20. Next on the list, we have Reveal trail cameras. By far the easiest cellular trail camera that I've ever had to set up. Open the box, put in the batteries, download the app, scan the QR code, literally that quick, and you have a fully functioning cell cam. Fully functioning cell cam in a matter of minutes. On top of that, they have the new Ultra. And I'm not going to sit here and go through every little bullet point that the Ultra has. They have some really awesome functionality. The mapping on the app has truly been updated. It's badass. So go check out tacticam.com/cameras. Check out the new Ultra, and then they still have some of the 3.0 versions available as well. So badass. Last but not least, do me a huge favor. If you want to support the Nine Fingers Chronicles directly, I don't have a Patreon. I don't ask for any of my content to be paid for. If you want to support me, go to fullsneakgear.com, find a t-shirt that you like, and buy it. And that helps me out. So fullsneakgear.com, go check it out. There.
Boom.
I just did everything that I hate about the hunting industry. I'm a two-faced whore.
So that I know we can't talk about it, but I also have seen that Vortex thing, which is it's gonna be really cool.
Yeah, dude. excuse me. The thing about that is just like I'm a process guy. Mm-hmm. And so when you can eliminate one thing or combine two things into one thing, it just makes everything easier. My only concern now becomes, and you know, it's not necessarily a concern. It's just like, I have to learn how to do it differently, but on spot and stocks, how that's mm-hmm. going to work, you know? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I'll talk about it next week when, you know, the last time that we do this, we should, I'll have the green light to talk about it. But outside of that, go check it out. VortexOptics.com.
Yeah.
You ready? What are we going to talk about? Goals. What are your goals for this upcoming season, Jeremy?
You know, I think this year is finally like a weird shift in, mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania for me.
And Sunday and hunting, dude.
Sunday hunting. And that's what really made this goal different.
Okay. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
But this is huge. This is something that mm-hmm. PA hunters have been fighting for a very long time. And now they pulled the trigger on this. Mm-hmm. My question to you is this all Sundays, all the time, anytime? Sundays are a green light all the time.
So Sundays are a green light from the beginning of the season in September for like units 5C, and I forget what Pittsburgh's units are. So those two units, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, they always open up like 2.5 or like 2 full weeks before the statewide. So, but once the statewide opens up, it is every October until the end of rifle season. Mm-hmm. And that, so that's what we get. So it's only mainly deer season for this year, which is totally fine by me. Would I love more Sundays during the whole turkey season? But then again, yes, I would. But we'll see. But in reality, I will have Saturday and Sundays. I can officially be a weekend warrior instead of a weekend warrior. Yeah. So this changed my goal and my mindset a little bit about my home state of PA because, you know, in years past, I'd always say something that got me excited and just like you said, would put on a show. And I've had those encounters. I've had those tags filled. This year with the bow and knowing that the property of the camp that me and my three other best friends have, I have shifted it where I want to be a little bit more pickier with the bow. And what I mean I'm going to have to try to do is calm myself down in those moments where some 2.5 buck comes in, snort wheezing, hit a scrape and put on a show for me and gets him in shooting range. I want to try to refrain from letting an arrow go, where I could say, I know I have other bucks that are more mature, all that bullshit. And I want to try to push myself in that aspect of things because I never have done that before. But I always say there's no guarantees and there's no concrete that that will happen. I'm going to try for that with the bow. And I've said to myself, if I carry that buck tag into rifle season, day one of rifle season will be a wait and see. But then day two, I'm just going to start slinging lead around and have some fun. You know, just to have fun with the guys and do certain types of maybe drives with them. What we did last year, just sneaking up on one and all that type of stuff. So that's my home state of PA. Ohio is going to be the same. Just try to get in on some on a nice buck and just have fun learning that hunting those terrain different features compared to what I've done my whole life here in PA and just keep challenging myself there. I ended up deciding on same person who I go and hunt Ohio with. He, my buddy Albert, he does Maryland as well. And he suckered me into going to sweat my balls off in 100 degrees of opening weekend there in the state of Maryland. So I plan on doing that again, just because that one stung a little bit from a couple of years ago when we got in and it rained and it was, in the evening hunt and it just stopped raining. And I was just like, I'm going to try some shit. And I just threw out a snort wheeze and like a grunt and I was prepared, but because of it being wet and the foliage, I didn't hear very well. And I was dead looking over, in a one spot of this trail and something just told me to look right. And out of the corner of my eye, a real big 10 point was walking towards me. And he was underneath this foliage and there was a scrape to like my 4 o'clock in the saddle, basically. And as I was grabbing my hand on my bow and getting ready to do like a weak side shot, he came from right underneath the canopy, looked straight up at me and just bolted the hell out of there. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It was just wild. And you know, it was like September 4th, September 5th, something like that. So I'm going to go back there and, had a chance to go to other spots in Maryland recently too, straight down for me, which is like a whole different area of Maryland that I'll be hunting maybe later on in the month of September, at least the weekend for sure. So, it just honestly, I'm just my goal with those Ohio and Maryland are just to continue to just try, you know, get my ass kicked and having fun with it and not really worrying about it too much and just be out in the woods, man. And but really that's the main goal is just have fun again and fill some tags.
Yeah. I think what I'm going to do is this October, one thing that I, not from like a big buck strategy or anything like that, but I have a whole bunch of public land that is right next to my house. And I know when I say right next to it, I got to drive 10, 15 miles to get there, but it's closer than me having to go to my main farms, right, to hunt. So my goal is, one of my goals is to just be closer and be able to pop out, you know, like maybe the kids get off the school, there's 2 hours left before sunlight, you know, sun goes down. Hey dude, let's just go. Yeah. Let's just go. Right. Let's just go get a doe tag and we'll just see what happens, man. Like we'll see, just sit in a big stump or a big mess of trees and on right on the ground and just be like, all right, now here's where we got to be quiet. And then we just use terrain like I would a tree stand, but I'm on the ground. Right. And that way it's very easy. Are we going to mess some stuff up? Yes, we're going to mess some stuff up. But at the same time, I just want to be able to get out because my kids ask me to go hunting all the time. And usually I just envision that of like, got to have a blind, got to do this, got to have this ready, got to have this ready. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to be like, go to some spots where I'm not going to be messing up any other guys. I'm just going to go for a walk in the woods and take my bow with me and see what happens.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and like, I think about what's fun about those, the hunting public, when Warb has his stepson on with him,
Yeah.
Like just the fun they seem to have together. Mm-hmm. Like that's all I picture with you and your boys, just going out, yep. finding that little spot and just all kinds of hell breaking loose and just yep. having a good time with it.
Yep. And then like, maybe taking a shot at a squirrel or something like that.
Yeah.
And trying to shoot a squirrel or a rabbit, and then I don't know, eating rabbit and eating a squirrel, cooking up a squirrel or something like that. I haven't done that for a long time. And just, you know, and then just, you know, long story short, spending the time doing the youth mm-hmm. season, man, I'm so looking forward to youth season. I got a spot picked out that we went last year. I don't know how well it's going to be this year from the standpoint of it's corn behind me and it was kind of green still. And so the acorn trees that were there aren't producing as much as they were last year. When I walked through a couple weeks ago, it's corn instead of beans. And so, I might have to find a new spot for my daughter and my son mm-hmm. and figure that out. But outside of that, man, I think I'm really looking forward to just spending some time. Here's my issue this year. I promised my son that he could go with me. My daughter is like, Dad, I understand why you want to take Mac this year. Why you took Mac this year for turkey hunting, because I shot a turkey last year, but I didn't shoot a deer this year. So I would like to, she's like making all these valid points, right?
And yeah.
I'm just like, I haven't shot a deer yet. And I would like to shoot a deer this year during youth season. So can you take me instead of him? I'm just like, how am I now supposed to balance?
Yeah.
Two kids in two different, like two kids in the stand. Right. I would need two guns and trying to do two. I don't know. Like yeah, I got to figure something out. And, I'm not 100% sure that's going to go down, but how that's going to go down. But I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell my stepdad, I'm going to be like, hey, you got to take one of them with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then I'll switch the next day. We'll go. If we don't shoot one the next day, I'll switch them up and we can go to different spots. And I asked my daughter last year, I said, Ava, last year you had like four deer in front of you. One of them was a big buck, or like it was like a 2-year-old, maybe one mm-hmm. 22-year-old or one, something like that. And it was a good deer. And I said, why didn't you shoot that one? Cause she was like, I can't see, the grass is in my way. And I'm like, disagree. Like, I don't know what the deal was, but she goes, I don't know. I blacked out. Cause they were fairly close.
Yeah.
And I think she kind of understood what it takes now. And I think she's going to go in there with a different mindset. She's been through that experience and I think she's going to turn into a killer this year. So we'll see.
But
fun. Anyway, long story, that's a long way of saying I'm looking forward to youth season.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one aspect of like, even my season, going back to that, Dan, about like the Sunday hunting specifically is in years past, any chance I would get after work, after school, I would come home and or I would have my stuff like already with me and all that type of stuff and head out to the woods. And I would go out and I'd only have like, I don't know, an hour and a half of a hunt and be like pointless. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I would see deer and then it would turn into like a scouting mission, whatever it be. And in the grand scheme of things, I would like look back on it and be like, man, that caused more headache for me at home than it did actually something good for me to be out in the woods. So last year, the way the schedule worked out for me is that I did not go. I think I went one time after work and it was a Friday. And I just remember busting ass, getting in there, and it was early on and it was a public land spot that I had some cameras on. I had some like pretty good bucks early on too, like hitting this one double scrape that I found and everything. And I was sitting there and I'm like, man, this is dumb. It didn't feel right. It didn't get the juices flowing. I pulled cameras. I got out of there. My daughter was like not feeling that well. And I just like stayed home, took care of her. I think even that like Saturday, I don't even know if I went out that next morning or not, or did anything. I don't think I did. And that was the only day I hunted during the week. And I've had a fun season. I made tons of memories. So this year I'm kind of going into it with that same kind of thought process, knowing the fact that I have Saturday and Sunday and not just Saturday. I mean, that is for someone that does not have the opportunity to have PTO, because obviously, yeah, as a teacher, you get those summers off. But at the same time, I'm not able to be like, hey, I'm going to take PTO from November 1st through November 20th. Like I have friends that do that, and I love that they have that capability, but I don't. So I'm going in with that same mindset of like, don't rush for after school type stuff. If there's a day where maybe it works out, so be it. But if not, like my daughter still has dance 3 days a week. She has guitar. So, you know, with the baby and everything like that, it's going to be very difficult to try to get out during the week. So I told my wife, I was like, hey, you know, there might be more weekends that I'm quote unquote gone per se, but at the same time, I'll be here Monday through Friday 100%. So, and she's all on board with that. And we're going to do, you know, me and my buddies said that like, we'll get the families together where maybe Saturday is the day we go hunting and Sunday we go, you know, get the families together at a local amusement park, or flip them, you know, do that Saturday and Sunday we're out hunting. So it's just, that's just opened up so many more, situations that even non-hunting, but for us guys that love hunting, it's going to help, I think.
Right. And you got to play that game, right? That balancing game. And that can be difficult sometimes. And I just feel like that Sunday hunting thing for a lot of guys is just this huge sigh of relief to where it's like, okay, now I just don't have to put all that pressure on the family throughout the week. I can plan for it. I can say, guess what? I'm going to be gone. You know, I'm going to leave Saturday morning. I'm going to go hunt. I'm going to come home. I'm going to hunt Sunday morning, or I'm going to hunt Sunday evening, or just the evenings, or whatever the case is. And like having to try to squeeze hunts in during the week is so difficult for a lot of people. I mean, including myself. Shit, this fall I'm coaching two football teams and trying to get my daughter to wrestling. And so who knows what the hell's going on. So outside of that, any other goals from a like quantity of deer you want to see, like specific tags, anything like that?
I'm anxious to see where I've hunt with my dad my whole life. I've talked about the club. I'm anxious to see that this year, because the last 2 years of me going to Ohio during like the really good time frame when the club is on fire, basically, I haven't been there. And I obviously see what the cameras tell me and going off of data. And I was talking to a good friend of mine, like, that's why I love having the cameras, is because of that old intel. Like, and I looked back the last 2 years, like those time frames match up. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, you know, 2022, it was November 3rd. And then, you know, 23, it was November 9th. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was able to go back and look at it and like, man, these 3-4 days, I mean, if you're in the spot, you have a good chance of seeing a really good buck. And so I'm anxious to see that, because there are a few that are real nice, big mountain mature bucks that, you know, would be really cool to have an encounter with the bow in my hand, no doubt about it. But, you know, and there's a couple too at our camp that see what transpires from last year to what we've seen in Velvet. You know, obviously in Velvet, they look like they're like Iowa deer. Yeah. Just straight megas. Yeah. But at the same time, it's nice seeing deer there, because last year when we hunted that property, the first time we stepped foot on it was the first opening day of hunting season. So we learned on the fly, basically, and we all had some sort of success there, which was awesome. So I'm anxious to see too what that brings. And we didn't really do anything as far as like habitat. I mean, we've done more try to keep trespassers off than anything. That's what even like this weekend, how you were saying, like, it's a balance game. Like, I took Nora and my nephew yesterday. We did some stuff, and
I let my wife kind of sit by and hang tight, and today doing the same thing. And Thursday we're going to go somewhere, and I was like, hey, I'm going to go to camp this weekend. We got to put up a gate, and I'll be gone Saturday, Sunday. And so hopefully those brownie points paid off, and I did get the green light. But yes, we're putting in a gate. So hopefully like stuff like that will help. Cause man, nothing deflates a sail in your boat when you're at school and I'm teaching and I get my reveal to go off, and next thing you know, it's the old guy that lives down the road going up on the quad, and it's like, mother, you know what I mean? And you're like, come on, dude. Like, yeah, that dude is a pain in the ass. So
yeah, dude, I'll tell you this, man, I've had some hunts where I have, you know, I've obviously had to share properties with guys in the past. And all my farms are permission. So there's one farm where I'm the only person who's supposed to be hunting it. It's the other one is I share it with several other people. Okay. And it's good. Some of them are serious hunters. Some of them are working men, you know, and they don't really get out a lot until the actual season starts. Like here pretty soon, they're going to go put up trail cameras. They're going to do their trail camera stuff. They're going to do their, what else? They're going to do their trail camera stuff. They're going to do their tree stand stuff probably in September, a week or two before the season actually starts. You know, they got to work and find time just like everybody. And then the shotgun crew, and then there's an old timer who still goes in and hunts. And I can remember, like, he was an old timer when I first started hunting this property 15 years ago. And, you know, or well, no, 18 years ago, 20 years ago, something like that. Anyway, I was on a giant typical 12 on this farm, and I had seen him the night before. And so I made a move, and I was just like waiting for this buck to show up. I'd seen him 2 days in a row now, giant typical 12. He caught my scent. I was cutting the wind hard, and he caught my scent. He turned around and left. And the next night I'm in position to encounter this deer. And deer starting to move, you know, deer starting to look behind them. And all of a sudden I hear, he literally takes his four wheeler 5 feet in front of my tree stand. All the deer that I see working my way kind of turn around and run off. He goes and parks his four wheeler right in the middle of this cornfield. And then he walks to his stand in the river bottom. And I'm just like, can't say anything. You can't do anything. I mean, this was like a 180 typical 12, just a freaking giant, probably only a 4-year-old, to be honest with you. And I'm just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And I'm just like, hey, did you see my, after it was over, I went to my truck. I waited for him to come back by. I kind of waved at him. I go, so did you have any luck? He's like, I didn't see anything tonight. I don't know what the deal was. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I said, did you see my truck and did you see me in the tree stand at all? Because you kind of drove right by me. And he's like, he instantly got defensive, and he instantly goes to, I've been hunting here for 20 years already. And this was like 20 years ago. And I'm like, at that moment, I just knew there's like, you're on your own, right? Mm-hmm. There's no talking to anybody about where. Like, I was here first. Like, I'm not playing that game. I'm just like, I will be the guy who is always moving. If they get, like, now I have to start hunting to where people are not. And that's paid off, you know, a handful of times on that farm. And I was, you know, pretty blessed to have this. I'm still blessed to have this farm and work with a very generous landowner who is able to give that up. But that farm has a life expectancy, right? I mean, I'm going to say, I don't know how long until it's sold, but you know, the value of these farms going up, these people know how much money they can get. And at some point it's going to be sold. And when that goes, then I have to go too. So,
Like last year, having that be our first year, like my dad and I at our club that I grew up hunting, we had encounters with some trespassers, and they play the, oh, I don't know. It's like, dude, trust me, you know, you're way off the mark of where you need to be.
Yeah.
And those were frustrating just because that one, obviously, like you pay a small fee to be a member there and all that type of stuff. But then the one with like with our camp, that one was a tough one because he gave us the whole, I'm old, I only hunt this time, and I can't work up there. And my bet, whose main camp it is, he's a gentle giant. And he gave him permission, but it was like under stipulations, and he definitely ran way over the stipulations.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Jim will basically be like, dude, you gave him 5 yards and he took the whole football field basically to go with it. And, so now I think, after I put a camera pretty close behind our camp, and it's just like right on the main logging trail. And, it was like on a scrape, had tons of buck movement, but it's awesome because it's a good camera to catch if somebody goes up it. And really we only had him to deal with on that one, but oh my gosh, it just, even the other day we noticed it. And after that, my one friend was like, I'm going to put the post in like that weekend.
Yeah.
He put 150 pounds of cement, for each post. He goes, that sucker's not going anywhere. And so, I said, well, how much do you put material? How much money did you put in? And then, I told Jim, I was like, all right, we're going to split the gate. We're going to go in a weekend to put the gate up and just mess that whole guy's world up. Cause even during rifle season, we finally got a hold of him on the phone, and we politely were like, okay, hey man, like we have a bunch of people up here. Please don't come up on our property just for safety reasons. Like obviously we still have a good chunk, but you know what I mean? We didn't want anything like that happening. And, so he was inclined. He obeyed that request by us basically. And, but it was funny though, like after he knew we were gone, next thing you know, poof, there he goes up on that friggin' four wheeler. We're like, son of a bitch. Like this guy is relentless.
I don't know what movie it is, but you got the guy who's like, oh, I'm so old, I'm so decrepit. And then he just like, then you see him through your binoculars and he's like hops off the four wheeler and starts like jogging through the woods or whatever. I think the gate will send a very clear message of what he should and should not be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a situation at the end of the season too, of rifle, with a buck. That was an unfortunate situation, and it really pissed us all off. And we're like, he's done. So,
yeah. Yeah. If you're a rule follower, man, I don't think there's ever going to like be an issue, but there's so many people who try to take shortcuts and, you know, trespass on properties and take the easy way through everything, when really a lot of the answer is communicating with people of what your goals and your intentions are. And if a landowner, so I had, this was several years ago, I had a landowner who was like, yes, you can hunt my property. I don't care when you hunt, where you hunt, you can hunt my property. I give you permission. One rule, do not drive on my field when it is wet. That's it. Like, I don't want ruts in my field. And I was like, dude, fair enough. You won't even know I'm there, right? You'll see my truck parked on the road or on the entrance, and that's it. Well, another guy goes through, and I think he shot a deer, and he went back to go get it with his truck and left ruts all in his field. And the farmer's like, he made every phone call to every hunter that was not, like, every person that hunted his farm, and he's like, hey, I just want to let you know I found ruts on my field. There's no longer hunting on my property. That's how much it meant to him. The other guy did not take it serious, and he ended up having to, you know, he kicked everybody off his farm.
Right.
And so is what it is, man. That kind of sucks, but
yeah. Yeah. Kind of crazy.
So you've kind of gone through your out of state hunts. We talked about your Sunday hunting, you know, like all these new goals. Like I have, I'm not even really, there's two deer in particular that I'm kind of waiting to see if they show up. One, I don't have any trail cameras out, so I have no idea. I passed a really good deer last year on my new farm, newish farm, where something told me don't shoot him. Like he was a really good. I'm guessing he was like 145, 10 pointer. Maybe he could have been 150, but at the time I was chasing two deer that I had, that I knew were bigger.
Right.
But they didn't show up. This guy came and he's like showed up and he was at 22 yards. And I was like, dude, I don't think I should shoot this buck. And my gut told me not to shoot him. So I didn't shoot him and I didn't kill a deer in Iowa last year. And so, I'm hoping he shows back up because he was around until December last year. I have one deer who had showed up several years at my Iowa farm. I'm thinking he's going to be maybe an 8 year old this year, maybe a 7-8 year old, something like that. And if he shows back up and he's not deformed like he was last year, he'll be a good one to chase. But outside of that, man, I'm not holding my tongue. Or for anything this year, I'm really just going to go. And whatever shows up that makes me go, ooh, I'm going to go take a shot at him. And really, that's how it's going to be. And if there's bigger deer out there that show up, like what I don't want to happen is me to shoot this deer that I'm like, okay, yeah, great deer, shoot him. And then the monster shows up like 5 minutes afterwards while I'm on the phone. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. So
that's so deflating.
I know, right? It's like you shoot a great deer, like a 150, you shoot a 150 or something like that, and then you know, a 180 shows up 5 minutes later. Or the most depressing ones are when you see it, you heart shot it, it drops, you're celebrating, and then the other deer goes to fight the dead deer. And it's bigger and badder, and it's standing 20 yards in front of you, and you just put your bow back on the hook, and you're like, oh, my God. Now, that's never happened to me, thank God. But, But I have had about the same size deer walk by me after I shot one and watched him fall. So, but, again, man, it's going to be – it's just – this year's going to be about fun. I'm going to South Dakota again. Here in the first week of October, I'm going to go with a guy that same guy went to the same last year, same location of the state. He kind of invited me along to a good pocket of deer where we believe. The only issue though this year is there's been fire out there in some of these spots.
Okay.
So I don't know what that's going to, this will be my first time ever hunting in a spot where there's been fire that's gone through. So I don't know how big the fire is or was. All I know is that one day I looked on Onyx and it said that there was currently a fire there. We did some research and it said that there was a fire. I don't know anything about that. And so is what it is, my friend.
Speaking of Onyx, Dan, if you have an elite membership, I saw they added the LiDAR feature on the Topo. Yes.
Yeah, I just did a hunting gear podcast with them a while ago. Actually, I need to launch that this week. A hunting gear podcast with Onyx, and they talked about that LiDAR that actually it's going to be this week's hunting gear podcasts, next week's Western Rookie podcast. I felt like it kind of covered the same topics for both of them. So it's going to be a good conversation to be had on the Hunting Gear podcast, just to updates on Onyx and then the light. Dude, that LiDAR's legit, man.
Yeah. I know, like I said, I know Spartan Forge introduced that a little while ago, but like having it now on both, like I use both. I mean, just because friends use Onyx, and then I've always thought the imagery on Spartan Forge did a really good job, but now it's like, it is what it is.
It's the market, right? And so, but hey, when you have the thing that I like about this type of mapping is you get to see terrain features that I really want to go on one of my old Iowa farms. It doesn't look like there's this spur, I call it a spur ridge, and it's just this little indentation in land that you can't see on with topo lines. So, but it's there, and I can see it's almost like a stairway coming up this. It's just a little flat piece of ground, like someone a million years ago created a stairway up there, and then time just kind of eroded it, but it's flat, comes out of the bottom right along this ridge. And so I'm trying to figure out why that's so important. It doesn't show up on topo, but on LIDAR, I bet you I can see it. Yeah. So I want to go and take a look at those. And those are the features, right? Those are the features that topo lines might not show, LIDAR will. And if you can find that and you can apply those principles to other terrain features that you see, dude, that's going to be a huge win for I guess you'd call it the e-scouting guys.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. So, well, we've been at it for a while, my friend. Let's shut her down. Jeremy, one more to go, and then you're back to work?
Yep. I'll get that intro to you this week.
It's all good. All right. Yeah. Hey, dude, have a good one. Thank you very much for your time. And for those of you who may have missed any of them, these episodes starting, I don't know, maybe August or September 1st time frame, are going to launch as bonus episodes on the Antler Up podcast. Be sure you go to iTunes or Spotify, wherever you are finding the Nine Finger Chronicles. Also check out the Antler Up podcast. Also check out the Sportsman's Empire and our entire lineup of podcasts, including the Nine Finger Chronicles, the Hunting Gear podcast, the Western Rookie podcast, the Antler Up podcast. There's so many to mention. You can also go to sportsmansempire.com/network, and there's a list of all the podcasts that we offer. So, Jeremy, good vibes, my friend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Dan.
Powerful doesn't just happen. You have to make it happen. So the moment Total Wireless offers a free Samsung S25 FE with Galaxy AI, when you switch to Total 5G or 5G Plus Unlimited 3-month plan, you take the network as powerful as you, with unlimited 5G data that won't slow you down. Now that's a total power move. Visit your neighborhood Total Wireless store. Device taxes and fees may apply. Requires new activation on a Total 5G Unlimited 3-month plan or higher. External port in and ID verification. Available only in Total Wireless stores. Limit to 4 devices per account.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Your little one grew 3 inches overnight. Adorable. Also, expensive. Sell their pint-sized pieces on Depop and list them in minutes with no selling fees. Because somewhere, a dad refuses to pay full price for the clothes his kids will outgrow tomorrow. And he's ready to buy your son's entire wardrobe right now. Consider your future growth spurt budget secured. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.